The word of the Lord today comes from Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. And it's one of those scriptures that most Christians know. And it's, in fact, the first sermon that Jesus preached in the book of Matthew. To the best of my knowledge, but I'm sure James will correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the first sermon. It's a Sermon on the Mount, and it's the Beatitudes. And I remember my first sermon was over 30, 35 years ago, and I still remember that sermon. It was important to me at that time. It was hard to put together. And I don't believe that there are just coincidences. Why did Jesus preach this as his first sermon? He's preaching it to you today. He is preaching it to you today. The Holy Spirit is preaching this sermon to you today. And I wrestled and struggled with the me, because I'm used to selling things. And there's certain humanistic characteristics of keeping you awake and catching your attention. But the Lord said, no, this is a teaching sermon, and you just deliver it. That's it. So this is the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Praise be to God. May the Holy Spirit add to our understanding as we think on these things. Blessed. The meaning of the word blessed is a gift from God. To be blessed is a gift from God. The Beatitudes form the opening chapter of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew, the principles are recorded which would govern the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that Jesus had come to establish it here on earth. And St. Paul confirms his understanding of the new kingdom of God established by Jesus when he said in Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and in the Holy Spirit. That peace and joy is summed up in each verse of the Beatitudes with the word blessed, blessed. Blessed means more than happy, because happiness is an emotion often dependent on an outward experience or circumstance. Whereas blessed here refers to the God-given ultimate well-being and distinctively spiritual joy. Blessed are you. Blessed. Of those of us who share in the sure knowledge of salvation and oneness with God's purpose, which is available through Jesus Christ And the first beatitude tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I remember as a young man being confused by this call to be poor in spirit. It confused me. After all, we're often told of the biblical heroes being full of the Holy Spirit. But the poverty of which the Savior speaks is a consciousness of spiritual bankruptcy. It's a consciousness of spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the people who realize that they haven't really got enough. They haven't filled themselves with His Spirit. An overwhelming awareness that one is destitute of any claim to righteousness before a holy God. In this verse, poor in spirit is the opposite to the spiritually proud and the arrogantly self-sufficient. Quite correctly, this is the first guide to blessedness. It shows we have to be in the right attitude with our Heavenly Father. We have to have the right attitude. And I flip back and think about what God said to Cain. Cain, if your attitude was right, I would have received your offering. We have to have the right attitude. In Isaiah 66, verse 2, the prophet brought these words from God. This is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Therefore, blessed are the poor in spirit. Fuller understanding. Secondly, the blessing, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Similarly to the first beatitude, the second beatitude's reference to mourning is not specifically related to the mourning of a deceased loved one. Whilst undoubtedly our Lord does comfort the bereaved, but here our Lord refers to the mourning of a guilt-confessing sinner who is painfully aware of his sinfulness. It is the deep sorrow of remorse that leads to repentance and thereafter restoration. Hallelujah. Thereafter restoration. Restoration as with the prodigal son to the Father. So it is with us as we mourn our sinfulness, as we are sorry and seek repentance, so our Lord Jesus provides the way back to our Heavenly Father. Blessed are they that mourn. The third blessing is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I struggle with this one. Meek rhymes with weak, doesn't it? Blessed are the meek. Growing up in Liverpool, that's the last thing you wanted to look like. You never wanted to look meek. You wouldn't survive. Especially if you met an Evertonian coming down the street and you supported Liverpool. You definitely put your collar up and you put this, put the act on, you know. And now the Lord's saying, blessed are the meek. What does he mean? What does he mean? Here, meekness is not related towards man, but rather meekness towards God. It is humility towards God. In Psalm 37, verse 11, the word of God states, the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. Mr. Trump, read that. The meek will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. When we're humble and meek before God, we will try to do His will. And that may lead to the immense challenges that will require boldness and courage and strength of character. Therefore, blessed are the meek. The fourth one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Here the Lord promises us that all who hunger after the righteousness that is found in the kingdom of God will find it. Those who hunger for the bread of life, which is the word of God through Jesus Christ. This righteousness is not to be confused with the worldly perceived rights of an individual. Human rights, workers' rights. Such rights are demanded by the world today with an ever-increasing voice. No, the righteousness Jesus promises to those who yearn for it is brought about by being made right with God through his salvation. It's brought about by being right with our fellow man through our love for him and through selflessness, compassion, and sacrifice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Fifthly, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Our Lord Jesus assures the merciful that they will receive mercy. In the Gospel, St. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we're told, give, and it will be given to you. Not only will it be given to you, but the quantity given will be returned to you, multiplied many times. How then, when we have been objects of such great mercy, can we not show mercy to others? I have to go back to my stories because it grounds me and makes it real for me. Many years ago, Elizabeth and I were in Christian Leadership Trust, and Archie Gamedi was in my cell group along with Bishop Stanley Makoba. And we used to pray for people, although we were in different political camps. And Archie had a car crash and his dear wife Edith was killed. And I was asked to go to the funeral to represent Christian Leadership Trust. And it was in Claremont. And as I drove in my Mohammedan green Mercedes-Benz into Claremont, the ANC had made sure that this funeral was happening on the day of the vow. And there were ANC cadres guiding people towards the Terra Lakota Stadium. And I knew that was going to happen, so I deliberately went an hour later to go to the Lutheran church where I knew the service would be. But African time's African time. So I got there just in time for all the cadres to be issuing everybody into the Terra Lakota Stadium. And as I drove down this very narrow road, very narrow, there was a smoldering, burning rubbish dump. And I thought, wait, here we go. But as I got there, I thought I'd do a quick U-ey and get back out of there. But they threw the gates open and waved me in. And I parked, two cars there, mine was one. There was a tent over there with the people who were mourning, and there was about 10,000 people who were ANC and Communist Party members. I got out the car with my Bible. I made myself as small and as humble as possible, and I walked across and sat amongst the people. And I was worried. And then the word of God spoke into my life. And he said, love your enemy in his camp. In his camp. I thought, what's that all about? And then I realized, you know, often when we're in control, when we have the person at our mercy, we can be merciful. Why? Because we're in control. But there's so many times in this life in South Africa where we're not in control. And then, do we offer mercy? or do we just hate, or do we detest, or do we call name? Do we character assassinate somebody? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Love your enemy in his camp or her camp. Blessed are the merciful. Sixth, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When one is pure in heart, we are pure to the very core. This is the contrast of someone who displays purity in words, but whose thoughts and actions are far from pure. How can we become pure in heart? After all, every day we hear unclean words, and we have unclean thoughts, and we see unclean sights. With all of that uncleanliness imparting into our whole lives, how can we possibly be pure in heart? Well, the answer is we have to become like Mnet. Like Mnet, Janet. Yes, that's right. We have to become like Mnet. We have to engage the parental control. You know that one, girls and boys? Parental control. The control that blocks out the swear words. The swear words are transmitted across the radio frequency right into your receiver, but they don't get broadcast to your children because you've engaged the parental control. Amen? We have to become like Mnet. We have to engage the parental control. It's being transmitted all the time. The evil one, full time. The biggest assault at the moment on young people and people is online gambling. It's incessant. The heroes they look up to in sport are there in the changing room, click, 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 oh, I won money, and so on and so on. And it is incessant. We've got to set parental control on our own minds and hearts. We do this by asking Jesus to come into our hearts thereafter, although the impure thoughts, words, and sights will be transmitted. We will not repeat them, we will not broadcast them, and we will not store them up for replay. Amen? It's a conscious decision. It's a conscious decision. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. For they will see God. Won't that be better than any worldly peep show? I think so. For they will see God. The seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. And this seventh beatitude shows that Christian discipleship is not just a religious passive experience to be meditated upon without action. The world is full of money makers, policy makers, troublemakers, and war makers. Oh, he started again, war makers. The ministry of war. Oh, hallelujah. And in that world, we are called to be peacemakers. In playing that role, we will be misunderstood and abused. We will be isolated and shunned because peacemakers stand up between opposing sides. That's common sense. Peacemakers stand in between opposing sides. And therefore, we'll get caught in the crossfire. It's a sacrificial role being a peacemaker. As peacemakers, our voice will not be supported by the multitude because peacemaking does rely on sacrifice, reconciliation, and trust. Qualities not often found in the mobs of politics or self-interest groups. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Hey, hallelujah. Do you want to be called a sister, a daughter of God? Do you want to be called a son of God? Oh, it sounds good to me. Just as Jesus was the peacemaker between his Father in heaven and mankind, so we will be called children of God when we sacrifice to become peacemakers. The eighth beatitude is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we're persecuted because of attempted righteousness in our lives, we join the martyrs of the faith. We become living witnesses to the reality of God's changing spirit in our lives. And in so doing, even the persecutors will have to acknowledge that a person's faith is real. It has made him stronger than I thought was possible. Faith does that. When we're persecuted because of righteousness in our lives, we have finally picked up our cross and we follow Jesus. Therefore, we too inherit the kingdom of heaven, and we will be called. Theirs, the righteous, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, the Beatitude lesson finally closes with, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who went before you. And dear friends, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is not for the faint-hearted. It's not. It's one of the hardest words to speak in public. You'll often hear people say, oh, Heavenly Father, or God, or some of my round table buddies, the man upstairs, and so on. But to say the name of Jesus, it is so hard. Dear friends, to be a disciple of Jesus is not for the faint-hearted. If you think that coming to church and being a Christian is just about appearing to be a good person, then you've been missing the point. In order that God's kingdom may come and his will be done here on earth as in heaven, there is one almighty war going on. And there aren't any neutral zones. There really aren't. Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. I know whose side I want to be on. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus because I want to be on the winning side. I'm used to that watching Liverpool. Sorry, Lord. How do I know Jesus will be on the winning side? Because although the powers of darkness had Jesus crucified, dead, and buried, on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead and seen by thousands, full of life and full of power. Amen? Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming again. He promised us that. He's coming today, maybe this afternoon. I don't know. Only the Lord knows. He's coming again in all his might and authority as the captain of the army of the Lord. What an army to fight against, where every soldier has already died to self and has been raised again to everlasting life. What an army. That's the army of the Lord that will stand against the forces of darkness, that evil force whose every soldier is selfish, not one of whom will sacrifice for another. An army deceived by the deceiver, an army in darkness. And then, as the army of our Lord Jesus approaches, the light of the world makes everything plain to see. The army of Satan and the created stands before the army of the Lord and their creator. I know which side I want to be standing on. I want to be standing with the blessedly poor in spirit. I want to be standing with the blessedly mournful. I want to be standing with the blessedly meek. I want to be standing with the blessedly righteous. I want to be standing with the blessedly merciful. I want to be standing with the blessedly pure in heart. I want to be standing with the blessed peacemakers, and I want to be standing with the blessedly persecuted. What about you? What about you? Who are you? You who are so blessed by our Heavenly Father. Where do you stand? Not only today, but every day. Blessed are you who have heard the word of God. Blessed are you who are part of a body of Christ. Be blessed. You are so richly blessed. We are so richly blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen.